We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Bearer of Weird News. As always, I am your host and the suppository of all wisdom, Matt Harvey. Now, guys, as always, a section of The Bearer of Weird News is brought to you by our sponsors. So for this episode, we are brought to you by International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. So quickly, we better get on that. We'll just take a moment now while racial discrimination gets eliminated. Yep, that'll take care of it. You're welcome, Earth. As well as ending racial discrimination, this episode we are also brought to you by World Poetry Day and World Panda Day. And given there are only 1,864 pandas remaining in the wild, it's imperative that we get on this right now. So to mark these celebrations, we have written a poem about World Panda Day and ending racial discrimination. If there are any remnants of racism left after our first crusade against racism, this will solve it for sure. Ready. In a bamboo forest not far away, pandas danced on End Racism Day. Black and white, they wriggled and twirled, spreading their love across the world. Their fuzzy ears perked up with glee as they hugged tight, filled with harmony. No more hate, just bamboo snacks. Pandas leading the unity pack. Pandas killed with indiscriminate glee, ending the race known as humanity. Bamboo sharpened into pointy sticks to end the lives of racist pricks. To continue planet Earth's newfound harmony, the pandas heartily expanded their armory. Thank you. Thank you. So that should help both pandas and end racial discrimination. You're welcome. And of course, we are brought to you by my upcoming live show. So I am doing my stand-up and storytelling show, Wage Against the Machine, in a couple of locations. I've got the Melbourne International Comedy Festival at a little place called Kaz Rytops on Smith Street in Collingwood, from March 29th until April 21st. Then in May, I'll be heading to Sydney for the Sydney Comedy Festival for the very first time. Only two shows there at the Enmore Theatre, the Enmore Laneway, May 4th and May 5th. So do snatch up some tickets to get that happening. Now, as mentioned previously, I am helping produce a play with Francis Greenslate, who you probably remember from Mad as Hell. The play is called The Platypus, and it'll be running at Theatre Works from January 19th until July 9th. We do hope you'll come and check it out. If you do have a couple of dollars to spare and you don't want to throw it at my Patreon, then feel free to chuck it at The Platypus. We're doing a bit of a fundraising campaign on the Australian Cultural Fund. So if you could look that up just there, or I can leave notes for it in the show notes. But until then, guys, I will be the bearer of weird news. So let's get to the headlines. Most of you would know by now, Taylor Swift is on tour at the moment, which means that she's been increasing her use of her private jet, flying her entourage from town to town, amassing quite a carbon footprint, one as large as her bank account. So it was nearly inevitable that during this tour, Taylor Swift would enter her newest era, her billionaire era, being officially recognized by the world's billionaires as one of their own after she threatened to sue a student who tried to hold her accountable for her carbon footprint by tracking her flights 24 hours after they landed using publicly available information. Now, if this does sound familiar to you, you're right. This is the same student who ran a Twitter account called @ElonJet and was threatened by Elon Musk for doing the exact same thing. Seems Swifties and Musk fans do have some common ground after all, but hey, hate is gonna hate. But I'm just gonna sue to shake him off. Back home, and the map of Sydney is breaking out worse than a teenager working in a grease factory, as more and more spots containing asbestos-infected mulch are appearing all over Sydney. As the spots increase, some familiar patterns are starting to appear in supermarkets, where toilet paper is inexplicably disappearing off New South Wales supermarket shelves as asbestos cases rise. In other throwbacks, New South Wales residents looking to enter any other state will now need to provide a negative test for asbestos at least 24 hours before being granted permission to travel. An investigation into why so many spots with asbestos are appearing all across the state. See, it turns out the mulch was secretly spread across New South Wales in an attempt to counteract the inevitable bushfires from the former LNP's lack of climate action policy. Green Life Resource Recovery Facility is looking to hire Gladys Berejiklian in order to fully avoid public scrutiny over the asbestos outbreak. Local music festival Groove in the Moo has been cancelled, citing low ticket sales as the reason. That story again, Groove in the Moo has been cancelled after Taylor Swift tickets made everyone too broke to be able to see any other type of concert this year. Turns out the cost of living crisis caused a bunch of housemates to decide that it was cheaper to just listen to the Kooks album while sitting in the mud in the share house backyard. Services Australia's new chief executive, David Hazelhurst, told a Senate estimates hearing he was optimistic the department would be able to get some of the backlog of 1 million outstanding toilet breaks down over the next month. To address the backlog, Centrelink has added 3,000 new staff in the hopes that they will be able to bring monitored toilet break times up from 5 minutes to maybe 6, maybe 7 on a very good day. According to a leaked memo about dress codes, Woolworths employees will no longer be permitted to wear Indigenous or LGBTQI+ stickers on their badges, reminding staff that Woolworths has an active policy of not supporting anybody in the community. And to be honest, the staff should already have known this, just based simply on the prices that they charge for a loaf of bread. After removing pandas from US zoos last year, China announced that it plans to send a new pair of giant pandas to the San Diego Zoo, renewing its long-standing gesture of friendship toward the United States. The new pandas' names are Beep Boop and Pandatron 3000. China also says the new pandas are completely normal and there is no reason to question them, inspect their wiring, or try to feed them, as they run on solar power like all pandas do. The RBA is taking suggestions from Australians as to the best way to represent Indigenous culture on the new First Nations-focused $5 note redesign, meaning the people who failed to agree on the voice to Parliament are being asked to decide on the best representation for Indigenous culture. Yes, this can only go well. Prepare for the headline, Public Vote Sees Australia Celebrate Indigenous Culture by Putting Captain Cook on the $5 note. After being isolated for 6 months, scientists in Antarctica have reportedly begun to develop their own accent. Here is footage of the scientists' new accent. Beloved children's film Mary Poppins has had its age rating lifted to PG by the British Board of Film Classification almost 60 years after it was first released due to discriminatory language. Yeah, it turns out Dick Van Dyke's Cockney accent is actually considered a hate crime in most countries, particularly in the UK. Trump has launched a gold high-top sneaker line one day after his $350 million court ruling. Trump unveiled the shoe brand after confusing Sneaker Con for instructions on what he should do instead of the name of the actual event. That story again, Trump unveils a shoe brand selling gold sneakers for only $350 million a pair. What a bargain. Because he totally understands the plight of the working man and will absolutely do what he can for them. A man who thought that he had won a $340 million Powerball jackpot is suing the lottery after the game's administrator said that their website only showed his numbers as a winning combination by mistake. The case will inevitably be thrown out as the court reveals to the guy, nobody is supposed to win. That's how this game works. Do we have a picture of the guy? Oh yeah, there he is. His name's Donald, I believe. Okay, that's the end of the headlines for this episode. Moving on now to some bigger news, starting with Eurovision news. Eurovision, the colourful and confusing music competition that was invented after World War II to prove to the world that Europe is not the hellscape of war that has marred its history for centuries, but it is in fact a fun place of diverse cultures, all spending the same dollar and abiding by a strict collection of trade rules, and occasionally an austerity disaster, just to mix it up a little bit. Plus, also, Australia is there, like a small child who finally made his way to the big kids' table and is desperately screaming, look at me, look at me, I have never been the enemy of any of you, look at me, and love me. As we tend to do, we get a little bit like that. With this very philosophical concept of European unity that the competition was built on in the past in mind, Eurovision organisers have resisted calls for Israel's exclusion in the 2024 competition, as according to the competition organisers, they are a non-political event. Conveniently forgetting that time in 2019, Iceland was fined by the festival organisers because of the Icelandic contestant that displayed a Palestinian flag at the Eurovision Song Contest in Tel Aviv. Oh, and in 2022 when they banned Russia from competing for what was that? Bombing another country and starting a war. Yep, thank you for the assist. They maintain that the situations in Ukraine and Gaza are different. And I mean, technically, they are right. Technically. Which is the best kind of right. See, the war in Ukraine is a new war. Started recently before we decided that war wasn't a cool way for young men to prove their worth to society and permanently destroy their ability to connect with another human being forever. See, this war in Gaza, well, that's an old war. One of the oldest, even. America's ongoing situation in the Middle East couldn't go on longer than this war. This war has been warring for longer than Elizabeth II was queen. And you know how it is when things get old, you start to give them a little bit of leeway on their behaviour. You know, if they drop a bit of an out-of-date term like Israel-Gaza conflict, you might just like let it slide on the wayside. You don't expect them to be fully up to date on all the new ideas or terms like gender fluidity pronouns and ceaseless Israel genocide of Gaza is bad and generally frowned upon. You just, you know, some of these things they don't catch up with. In a statement, Noel Curran, the Director General of the European Broadcasting Union, said, "Comparisons between wars and conflicts are complex and difficult, and as a non-political media organisation, not ours to make. We understand the concerns and deeply held views around the current conflict in the Middle East." Oh no! There he goes. He said the old-timey words. We don't call it a conflict anymore, Noel. We say it with me now. We call it a genocide. This is a genocide. You'll get used to it after a couple of tries. Just get used to the feeling of it on your tongue. The Gaza genocide. Very good, Noel. Very good. The statement concluded, The EBU is aligned with other international organisations, including sports unions and federations and other international bodies that have similarly maintained their inclusive stance towards Israel participants in major competitions at this time. Oh, I get it. I get it. Nobody else has done anything to admonish Israel, so you don't want to shake things up by being the first. Being the first is hard, as it does require a modicum of moral courage and the ability to think outside the lucrative broadcasting deal box. So let me clear things up. That statement again. Eurovision has decided Israel's allowed to compete after seeing how people freak out about pro-Palestinian talk. Besides, the European politicians, musicians in Sweden, artists in Finland, and protesters in Norway and Ireland have sent 3 letters to the EBU arguing public broadcasters to exclude Israel from the contest, and Iceland is reconsidering its participation, and UK entrant Ollie Alexander actually signed a letter calling Israel an apartheid regime, which, while accurate, is rich coming from the UK, who not only started the whole mess in Palestine, but has a lot of balls, even still participating in Eurovision after making it very clear that they had zero interest in even being a part of the EU. And that has consequences, you guys. You guys, that has consequences. UK, if you want a song competition, you have to make your own. Look, the remaining countries of the Commonwealth will be gathered, and these cowards of the Commonwealth, which, if the Commonwealth Games is any indicator, will be won by Australia, obviously, and will just sort of give us another excuse to really drag our feet on leaving the Commonwealth, which I don't love, but we get to be part of something, which is kind of fun. Just in, after all of this hubbub, Israel has finally come forward with a statement on the matter. Okay, this should be interesting. Oh, hang on. Yes, they have threatened to withdraw from Eurovision amid scrutiny over the lyrics to their song. See, Eden Golan, who was announced as the country's representative, was due to sing a song called October Rain. But after leaked lyrics showed that the song appears to reference the October 7 attack by Hamas, there was a bit of a scrutiny. There was a bit of a pushback on Israel's participation. It wasn't even that they were there in the first place. It was more that they were singing this particular song, which is wild in and of itself. But remember, the EBU describes the contest as a non-political event and maintains its right to disqualify contestants who break this rule. So it feels like an open and shut case, right? Or it would be if anybody who had any kind of power cared about the people of Palestine, but that's a whole other matter in and of itself. However, breaking news, in a surprise twist, Israel says that it will not compete in the competition this year if its lyrics are not approved. Yes, seems Israel's broadcaster, KAN, said that they will reject any attempt to alter the entry. Now, this is very interesting because if we've learned anything about Israel in the last, say, 75 years, they compromise as well as an only born child. So this should be very interesting. This in and of itself proves a bit of an interesting situation. So let me get this straight. Israel, a country increasingly more people don't want in the competition and that EBU organizers refuse to kick out, has threatened to leave the competition of their own volition. And all everybody has to do is absolutely nothing? Well, looks like we finally found an Israeli problem that we can solve by everybody in the world doing what they normally do in this sort of situation. Nothing. Oh, breaking news. This just in an unprecedented move. Israel has agreed to change controversial Eurovision song lyrics. Wow. Wow, seemingly undermining the last few minutes of my sweet news program content here, Israel has said that they will instead choose between 2 different songs for their Eurovision choice. Interesting. presumably they'll just reference one of the many other times they have bombed the shit out of the innocent people of Palestine, as nobody seemed to care about those ones, and it's surely easier to sneak a lyric in at that point, right? But this is looking like we have achieved the unachievable, that we have made possible the impossible. Guys, we may have negotiated a two-song solution. So maybe this says a lot about what Israel wants, and I think Eurovision needs to stand up and tell Israel that if they don't want to negotiate a fair and equitable two-state solution with Palestine, that they will be banned from Eurovision forever. Moving on now, it is inflation news. Inflation! There just keeps being more and more of it. You've undoubtedly noticed the price of some of your favourite groceries has been on the rise recently, and even some of your least favourite groceries, like onions and TikTok biscuits. Gross. Develop some taste or get off my grocery shelf. You're taking up valuable space that could be used by something edible. The only thing increasing more than the prices under inflation is the number of inquiries that have been made into grocery prices, arriving at now roughly a half a dozen separate inquiries into the supermarket sector. There are now more inquiries than there are places for people to shop for groceries. But the Governor of the Reserve Bank of Australia, Michelle Bullock, maintains inflation in Australia is largely demand-driven, essentially saying the problem is with you, the consumer. If you didn't need to eat so much, the demand would be lower and you'd be paying much less, you glutton. However, a new report by former chair of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, Ellen Fells, has cast doubt on the claims of demand-driven inflation, arguing the ongoing cost of living crisis is largely due to corporations unduly increasing prices. The report can be read in full in Adoy magazine's financial special for 2024. Corporations trying to blame people for the things they are doing is the oldest game in town. You might remember the ad with the Indian crying because someone threw rubbish out of the car window, which, by the way, won awards for excellence in advertising and presumably white guilt, and spouted the catchphrase, "People start pollution, people can stop it." And in a rare extended cut also had the phrase, "Pay no attention to the man behind the billowing tower of smoke. This is your fault, all your fault." But that last bit was cut for obvious reasons. So this ad was created by Keep America Beautiful, a non-profit funded by companies like Coke, Pepsi, and Anheuser-Busch. Well, no need to worry there. I'm sure they're all doing it for benevolent reasons and not for shifty corporate reasons. That's never happened before. Surely it never will. Oh, and BP, the second largest non-state-owned oil company in the world, hired the PR firm Ogilvy and Mather to promote the idea of the carbon footprint, to push the idea that climate change is not the fault of an oil giant like them, but of individuals like you, you gluttons. Because this is all your fault. There are so many of you and increasingly fewer companies as they all buy each other up. How could like 8 companies be more responsible for the pollution of 8 billion people? Your math ain't mathin'. It's time to get a new calculator, Grandpa. It's a new game in town. Before the pandemic, prices were rising very slowly, mostly below the RBA's target range of 2-3%. Between March of 2021, the last quarter before inflation got all fucked, and September 2023, inflation increased by a total of 14.8%, which you may have noticed is a little bigger than that last number, almost unnaturally large. The report stated that in the same time frame, real wages have declined by 5.6%, leaving them the lowest that they've been since June 2009. That was before we even started addressing the year as 20. Wild. But that's just regular capitalism stuff, working at its most optimal. No need to overthink it, nothing suspicious happening here at all. Ellen Fels. Fels by name, Fels by nature. The might of this report brought down former Woolworths CEO and man struggling to recover from a stupid thing that he said in an interview, Brad Banducci. Can we get a clip?
It is an incredibly competitive market. The risk people have is...
Former head of the Competition Commission says... His words are...
That retired, we have, by the way.
I don't think you would impugn his integrity and his understanding of competition law.
I'm just saying the world has got much more competitive.
He retired 18 months ago. He's not...
Okay, can we take that out? Is that okay? He is retired, but I shouldn't have said that, Angus. Are we going to leave it in there if we are?
Well, I mean, if we're on the record. You said it. I mean...
Yeah, we do. Brad Banducci stepped down almost immediately after this interview. Fels by name, Fels by nature. Timber! You've been felled! Ellen Fels appeared on the ABC to address the resignation and respond to Banducci's comments.
Former chair of the ACCC, Ellen Fels, was commissioned by the ACTU to conduct an inquiry into price gouging and unfair pricing practices. He subsequently released a report scathing in its assessment of the big retailers. He joins us now from Melbourne. Ellen Fels, welcome. So Woolworths has said this announcement today about the retirement of Brad Banducci was a long time coming rather than being prompted by anything recent. What do you believe was behind it?
Well, it was somewhat unexpected on timing and follows so closely on that disastrous interview. So I think maybe there were two reasons for the immediacy. One was his rather badly failed public relations 101 by walking out on that interview, also mishandling the Australia Day sales. And secondly, they've got multiple public inquiries coming up. And companies probably punishing him for his success.
Yeah, that bootlickers, no matter how good you are at what you do for your workplace, even if you make them $1 billion in profit, they will punish you first chance that they get if it suits their needs. Corporations are not your friends, guys. They're not looking after you, even when they produce you with a red hot special. One of the major recommendations from Fels' report was the establishment of a National Competition and Pricing Commission, which would be responsible for conducting ongoing market reviews and in-depth investigations of the detriments of high prices. The commission would work alongside the ACCC, but would operate independently, taking on some of the enforcement responsibilities while conducting essential price studies. Think of it as the Compare the Market price comparison website, but if the meerkat decides that the price that you're charging is not in alignment with market fluctuation, he drags you out into the back and shows you why exactly they hired a Russian meerkat. The inquiry report also proposes regulating aviation prices in a similar manner to utility pricing, closely monitoring early childhood education and care pricing decisions, and scrutinising medical specialist fees for greater transparency and fairness. And not a moment too soon, as we recently discovered that Qantas's decision to reduce its domestic flight capacity and increase their fares in 2022 may have contributed to the inflation and led the Reserve Bank to raise interest rates. You remember that? When we had fucking huge interest rates? This may be partly Qantas's fault. It's really starting to feel like these companies don't have my best interest at heart, like many of their ads claim. And it makes sense when you realize if they put on more flights, they might have to pay more staff. And it seems the 2020's most hottest business trend is minimalization, minimal services, minimal staff, minimal satisfaction. At a certain point, one of these companies is going to come out and claim that they had to cut down not only on staff, but how much they pay them, because more staff means more people driving to work, which has a negative impact on the environment, and more money for the staff means that they can afford to undergo activities which have large carbon footprints, maybe even fly somewhere. Ooh, we can't have that. And again, all of this will have negative impacts on the environment, right? They are saving the planet by ensuring that nobody can do anything beyond the bare minimum. You're welcome, guys. We're doing our bit to save the planet. What are you doing, you gluttons? I wanted to mark it here. I wanted you to hear it here first. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. And it's gonna be awful. But you heard it here first. And look, maybe most worryingly, the report stated that excessive pricing is not unlawful in Australia and called for the government to act, especially as many Australians struggle with cost of living pressures. And while he isn't wrong, I am not convinced that our government has what it takes to do what is best for the people in this cost of living crisis. They do have a long history of not exactly abiding by the constraints of what is and isn't lawful, and then relentlessly pursuing others for not doing what they deem to be unlawful. Hey, but you know politicians' motto, unless it's politically unpopular, fuck you and the feet you walked in on because you can't afford to get a car because you're poor. Frankly, I think this needs a little bit of work, but at least the motto is honest, right? So to address ongoing concerns, Coles, ever the industry leader, has formed an alliance worthy of the Dark Lord himself, joining forces with data company Palantir. Here is footage of Coles making the deal.
A Palantir is a dangerous tool, Saruman.
Why? Why should we fear to use it?
For those that don't know, Palantir is an American tech firm founded by venture capitalist and man actively seeking the blood of the young to sustain his own life, like a literal vampire, Peter Thiel. The sad part is that's not even a joke. You can look that up right now. Palantir says it's focused on creating the world's best user experience for working with data, and is best known for its controversial work with the US Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, better known as ICE. That's right, ICE. And its work with a number of intelligence and military agencies around the world. Their data analytics capabilities have been used by intelligence agencies to track and capture terrorists, insurgents, and drug smugglers, and reportedly helping to find Osama bin Laden, which makes them perfect for crushing the organized crime syndicate of hungry people trying not to starve to death while being price gouged for basic necessities. There will be no cave these single mothers can hide in where Coles will not be able to drag them to the light of day for punishment in front of the others. I was worried when I heard my local supermarket was teaming up with a company that has worked closely with the CIA and the UK Ministry of Defence and worked with ICE during the Trump administration to implement tough deportation policies involving assisting the agency in identifying, exchanging information, and tracking migrants and asylum seekers. Well, that was silly. Why would I be worried about that? But obviously, when faced with this level of organized grocery thieves, you need proper proportionate responses. It's getting real Alibaba and the 40 bread thieves up in here. I'm saying open sesame loaf. And as a country founded on sending bread thieves to the other side of the world for the unforgivable crime of being poor in public, we know the descendants of those thieves are out there, polluting the population with their sloping foreheads, their expressive faces, their manual dexterity, their small wandering eyes, thick and close eyebrows, distorted or squished noses, and their thin beards and hair. Classic phrenological outcasts who should be shunned, even if we have to convert Tasmania into the ultimate prison island for bread thieves this time, for this bread mafia. We can then pay for the prison expenses by selling the TV rights to Channel 7 for their new hit show, All I Did Was Steal Some Bread, Get Me Out of Here. For those who were around in this golden age of social media ignorance, when the worst thing we had to deal with was seeing everything your friends posted because the algorithm wasn't swamped with ads yet, and occasionally someone trying to poke you. Other things were pretty bad, and a lot of it was because of Palantir. See, according to a whistleblower, Palantir was also involved in the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal, the first major data stealing scandal, the OG data stealing scandal, like the World War I of data stealing. We were there at the beginning, we didn't quite know what we were getting into, but we apologise for the fallout. Amnesty International has even previously accused Palantir of being involved in serious human rights abuses. To put it simply, they're the information sector equivalent of Raytheon, always ready to make a dollar fucking over the little guy. In the deal, Coles plans to deploy Palantir's tools across more than 840 supermarkets to cut costs and redefine how we think about our workforce. See, currently they define it as a place where they pay people to do a job, and they'd really like to redefine it as a place that extracts money from the public without having to give any back to the very same public. Nothing below the level of executive deserves to be paid. Which means there are going to be a lot of sad middle managers when they realize that they don't have jobs anymore after there is nobody but robots left to manage. The rest of us will pick up shit-kicker jobs for no money elsewhere. We know what it's like out there. You'll have to downgrade your life. I don't think you can handle it down here in the mud with the rest of us middle managers. Look, I know we mentioned this already, but I need you to understand the choices being made here. This is a tech company named after magical seeing stones from the Lord of the Rings books that, through prolonged use, corrupted their users and led them to make incorrect assumptions about the information that they were receiving. Being used by a company to create a bird's eye view of a business as a whole, telling them to make cuts with the full empathy of a robot or a man who looks at the blood of a young person and thinks, "Give me your blood to sustain my life." So I'm not anticipating any problems. Should go really swell, and I'm looking forward to it coming out. Why? What? Coles, why are you doing this? What do you want? Oh, here it is. This is what they want. All right, here's the big announcement, guys. This is what Coles' plan is. The announcement is linked to Coles' plan to save $1 billion over the next 4 years and follows a 2019 big data deal with Microsoft, an effort to build robotic delivery centers and the introduction of customer tracking cameras and other high-tech security measures. Coles, come here. What are you doing? I don't know how to tell you this. Building technology to relentlessly track my every movement? That's a bad look. Why are you so obsessed with me, Coles? What's wrong with you? I'm not sure if you've ever seen a movie about a stalker. They aren't the good guys. And that includes Mark from Love Actually. Coles, don't you dare send a self-service robot to show up to my doorstep with a bunch of signs telling me that you were always in love with me the whole time, which I have to move myself because you didn't pay someone to actually do this job. And you didn't bother building little arms for the robot so it can flip the signs. You know that by placing Palantir at the heart of its operations, Coles is showing us that they think food is a commodity desperately needing optimization. That paying for labor is a risk rather than a responsibility, and that data can capture everything of importance. And data has proven to be an increasingly important commodity. Ask Shakira's adopted home of Barcelona, who now are 7 million euro better off after data caught the pop star and her hips lying about the amount of tax that they paid. But data is also what's at the heart of RoboDebt. Remember RoboDebt? Proving that it can be misused to create a real terrible situation or two. And desperate not to have a retail RoboDebt ravishing his time in office, in comes Anthony Albanese. Big swinging elbow. So Coles and Woolworths have supposedly been put on notice to do the right thing as Anthony Albanese signals that he'd be willing to intervene. Uh-oh, they're in trouble. They made Daddy Albo mad, and he is sick of answering questions about supermarkets and prices and just wishes for the good old days when journalists only cared about the price of milk and bread. Do we have a clip?
We've got up to 100 Australians a day dying with COVID, a low booster rate, inflation, indoor businesses in Sydney and Melbourne on their knees without your support. What are you going to do about these problems? Have you lost touch with ordinary Australians? And on that theme, off the top of your head, can you tell me the price of a loaf of bread, a litre of petrol, and a rapid antigen test?
Now, I'm not going to pretend to you that I go out each day and I buy a loaf of bread and I buy a litre of milk. I'm not going to pretend to you that I do that. And I'll leave those sort of things to you, mate. I do my job every day to ensure that those things are as affordable as they possibly can be for Australians every single day.
Because it's an easy one to answer. You simply look down at the barrel of cameras and you say, these days, it's more than the mortgage of your house, mate. Ha 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 ha. Everybody laughs, nothing changes. What a good time. If they don't pick up their game and do what was right, he might even go so far as to tisk loudly or tut disapprovingly. And not in a room where they'd never hear it. No, no, no. In a passive-aggressive way, when they are within earshot, so that they will know that we are tutting about them. Thank you, Daddy Elbo. You're doing the right thing. He might even hold a press conference to declare that he wasn't mad, but he was very disappointed, and they should take a long, hard look at themselves while sitting on top of the big stack of money. Things are so bad for supermarkets, Woolworths has fallen from its surprising position as Australia's most trusted brand, which, for starters, can I just say, Australia, what are you doing? Like, seriously, what are you doing? This is why people don't think that we are a real country. The most trusted brand? A supermarket of any kind. In a world where we have the Cancer Council sunscreen, what better brand could there be? Top quality, conflict-free, and they are a not-for-profit raising money to treat cancer. And their product clearly works because this is a country that is primarily desert and is perpetually in a state of being on fire, and it's filled with white people. White people who really shouldn't be able to survive in our UV radiation bombarded Mad Max looking fire escape without protection. The Cancer Council sunscreen works, and somehow the Cancer Council are not the number one trusted brand in Australia. And Cancer Council, if you're looking for a spokesperson, there's your first ad right there. Call me, let's talk. Just a quick side note. Who took the most trusted brand spot? Just before we can move on. Bunnings? No. 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 I won't have it. Bunnings? Fuck me. It just goes to show not only the power of persistent branding, as all they ever do over and over again is tell us that they are willing to beat prices by 5% while simultaneously selling brands exclusive to their store, which can't be price matched, and so they can't be beaten because they don't exist anywhere else. But it also shows how much this country believes in the power of a sausage sizzle. Fuck me, it's embarrassing. If Woolworths wants to retake the throne, they best get out and grill an entire cow on a spit every Sunday from now until our very hot sun explodes, flash frying all the cows in one go. Just slicing chunks off of bovine spit and slapping them in some bread forever. If you want to win the Australian people over, figure out how to get more meat inside some bread. Any kind of bread. That's the way to do it. I figured it out. Perhaps overcharging people for basic necessities, then setting up measures to capture and punish them when they respond in kind isn't what most people would call good business, despite it being chapter 7 on the big book of running your own damn business. It's absurd for these big supermarkets to get so bent out of shape about petty theft in retaliation to their price gouging, when petty thievery is the blood of the Australian identity. Half the original white population were sent here for stealing bread, and we as white people will proudly stand up and carry out the traditions of our forefathers. The bad kind of stealing made this country, and the necessary kind populated it. We need to walk a very careful line lest we transform back into Britain. But stealing is back on the menu, boys! Moving on to legal definition news. America! Oh no! America doesn't get a really big look in on this podcast, because if I'm honest with you guys, there's a lot going on, and as a one-man operation, I can only make fun of so many things at a time, and we need to have good people working to make fun of our own stupidity, right? Like the Army Reserves of news satire, just ensuring that there's someone here in case of an outbreak of stupidity. You know, there's a reason why there's so much political satire in America. It's because there's plenty to go around. They're eating good over there. And they've served up a helping so delicious, I couldn't help but grab a plate for myself. Eat up, gangers, this is more than I could possibly eat by myself, as the Alabama Supreme Court has ruled that frozen embryos created and stored for in vitro fertilization are now considered children under a state law allowing parents to sue for wrongful death of their minor children. And why not, right? Why not? Many is the time that I have walked down the freezer aisle and thought, look at all these children safely stored in the freezer. I often wonder how long I could keep them out of the freezer, and I always make sure to crank the air conditioning right up in childcare centres because I don't want to accidentally be responsible for the death of a child should one defrost. I couldn't handle that. You're probably wondering, how the fuck did the Alabama Supreme Court reach this conclusion? That's a great question, and I'm glad you asked. You've always been such an attentive audience, thank you. Look, it's been the Republican Party's long-term goal to ensure that not a single woman has bodily autonomy and that no American is ever not born. That's just patriotism. You can't have the biggest military in the world if you don't force a bunch of children to be born into poverty, with no decent jobs, a terrible hourly rate, and no good healthcare options. What else are they going to do? Why else would they want people so attached to firing guns as a principle? They want to turn the country into an army of 331.9 million soldiers ready to fight at the drop of a hat. Get them all pumped up on patriotism, make them obsessed with guns, and don't allow any of them to be able to make a decent living. Actually, I think I've unlocked the secret code of America. Shit. Watch out, guys. They're coming for us. So to help them achieve their goal, the court, whose members are all elected Republicans or appointed by a Republican governor, voted an 8-1 majority that it was a long-established precedent that unborn children are children for the purpose of the 1872 wrongful death law at issue in the case. and they remain children with all the rights of children until they either become poor or die in a school shooting. Then they proceed to have less rights than the gun that actually shot them down. It's a simple cycle. They said that any doubt about it was removed by a 2018 amendment to the state's constitution, which declared that it was the public policy of this state to recognize and support the sanctity of unborn life and the rights of unborn children, saying there was no unwritten expectation for frozen embryos outside of a woman's uterus. Weird that nobody anticipated, either in 1872 when the prevailing science was the invention of the penny farthing bike, that nobody anticipated that we'd be able to have an embryo frozen outside of the human body. I don't see how they failed to see it coming. Chief Justice Tom Parker drew widespread attention for this overtly religious concurring opinion, writing that the state constitution includes the theologically based view that human life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God. And people are going to give this guy a hard time for these views, but I'm just happy that he is being true to the founder's dream of not allowing the government to corrupt the church by separating church and state. Oh, sorry, I mean converting state into church. That was my mistake. I mix those two things up all the time. See, that way the church won't get corrupted by the state. I mean, it's very confusing, I understand, but it's embarrassing at this point that I keep mixing them up. He also went on to say that there is an amendment to the human life rule. Guns, of course. Guns are God's favourite child. Surely this won't cause any problems. Cue the problems in 3, 2, 1. There is. Because of this, Alabama's largest hospital has put a pause on IVF in the wake of the ruling. Haha, who could have seen that coming? Seems this never occurred to Republicans as a possible consequence of their actions. I mean, it's very tough to think about consequences for your actions when you never anticipate to actually have to face consequences for your actions. Do we have a clip?
Do you have a reaction to the Alabama Supreme Court ruling on the fact that embryos are children?
Yeah, I was all for it. We need to have more kids. We need to have an opportunity to do that. And this, I thought this was the right thing to do. But
IVF is used to have more children. And right now, IVF services are paused at some of the clinics in Alabama. Aren't you concerned that this could impact people who are trying to have kids?
Well, that's for another conversation. People need to have that. We need more kids. We need the people to have the opportunity to have kids.
Senator, what do you say to the women right now in Alabama who no longer have access to IVF, or who will not, as a result of this ruling? What do you say to them?
Well, that's a hard one. It really is.
Ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Really feeling like maybe you didn't think this whole slowly converting the government into a church shtick that you have going on through. Oh, sure, it's all fun when you get to use the endless power of your position to funnel money around making yourself wealthy and mandating the adherence of church. The doctrine makes you feel like a big man, but much like the actual Bible, sometimes you contradict your self-proclaimed aims. I don't know why they were worried that the state would corrupt the church. They seem to have taken to the lessons of organized religion very well. Problem, of course, is IVF is often the best treatment for patients who desperately want a child, and this ruling threatens doctors' ability to provide that care. Yeah, see, turns out, despite what all the TV shows say about doctors doing it to help people, if you make them more liable for their behaviour than cops, they suddenly don't want to be doing their job anymore. Damn lazy doctors, nobody wants to work anymore! Fortunately for the doctors, the Republican urge to force everybody to procreate means that Alabama lawmaker and Governor Kay Ivey agreed to to protect in vitro fertilization providers from legal liability. Though it seems not everybody is interested in being on board with the IVF protection. Meet Senator and dystopian multiverse Leslie Knope, Cindy Hyde-Smith. Smith has some thoughts on IVF.
Object.
The Senator from Mississippi.
Madam President, I support the ability for mothers and fathers to have total access to IVF.
Oh, well, that actually seems like a reasonable and regular stance that you have there. I apologize for jumping the gun. But if that's how you feel, why are you the only one standing in the way of this?
The bill before us today is a vast overreach that is full of poison pills that go way too far. This would be the first time the bipartisan Religious Freedom Restoration Act, introduced by then Representative Chuck Schumer, was explicitly waived. The bill's expansion definition of artificial reproductive technology sweeps in much more than IVF.
Oh, I see. I mean, Smith, come on. Even Trump says he strongly supports IVF. And this is a man who is currently on trial for his thoughts on what he should be allowed to do to a woman's body. The only thing that we are sure he is strongly in favor of is a McDonald's burger. I mean, at least he can grab the buns with his hands and there won't be any consequences. So what's the holdup, lady? What is the holdup?
It would legalize human cloning. It would legalize commercial surrogacy, including for young girls without parental involvement. It would legalize gene-edited designer babies and lift the federal ban on the creation of three-parent embryos. It would legalize the creation of human-animal chimeras.
Oh, yeah, right. Sounds like a real Island of Dr. Moreau situation down there in Alabama. Clones and superhumans and chimeras, oh my! Sounds like Hyde-Smith has been reading a little too much science fiction, getting ideas beyond our scientific capacity. Senator, if you rip off too many well-known books, your self-published novel will never make the shortlist for the 2025 Hugo Awards. It just won't happen. Seems her major problem is she doesn't quite understand what exactly a human is philosophically. If you don't know or haven't brushed up on ancient Greek myths, the Chimera is a fire-breathing female monster resembling a lion in the front, a goat in the middle, and a dragon behind. And sure, the front of a lion is pretty good, but the middle of a goat? The middle? What a stupid choice. And the back of a dragon is the second worst part of the dragon. Doesn't even breathe fire, unless it's been eating some chili, of course. Got him. If we are concerned about animal-human hybrids, which is the word that you're looking for there, Greek mythology is full of animal-human hybrids. Someone was always fucking an animal in Greek myths and making some sort of hybrid. Here we go, let's do an extensive list. The Minotaur, Gorgons, the Manticore, Dryads, Dracania, Harpies, Sirens, the Sphinx, Satyrs, and every horse girl's dream, the Centaurs. Chimeras were maybe the only creature to not include a human element in their combination, so it was a really poor choice you made there. Unless, of course, she's referring to the second definition, an illusion or fabrication of the mind, an unrealizable dream, which would fit perfectly, actually. Maybe she's onto something. Though the other end of the spectrum she's having trouble with as well. You need to draw a line between zygote, embryo, and eventually fetus. If an embryo is a human, then a caterpillar is a butterfly, and therefore a terrible metaphor for transformation. And a tadpole is a frog, and we will be serving them at French restaurants in place of frog's legs, because they'd be much cheaper. If we can't find the fine line between these two states, then logically, we take that back to its logical endpoint, and now every egg and sperm are considered humans. Sorry guys, that's just how it works. So every time a woman has a period, or a man has a wank, that's murder. And periods are hard enough without the possibility of manslaughter or a murder charge. We don't really need to add that on top, I think you should know that. Moving on now, it's animal news! Animals, according to some politicians, were simply a quick hump away from being one and the same. But every so often, the animals pop their adorable heads out and do something worth talking about, and we've gathered a gaggle of animal news stories for you to take a little sticky beak at, starting in India, where Indian police have cleared a suspected Chinese spy pigeon. Now, I know China and India have a tense relationship at the best of times, but a spy pigeon? Is this World War II? Sure, Operation Columbia, where spy pigeons carried out some 1,000 messages back between London with information on radar installations, Nazi troop movements and V1 rocket sites, ultimately landing the pigeons medals for their bravery, was a huge success. I'm sure those pigeons were very proud, and unlike Chewbacca, they did actually get their medals for all the work that they did, so good on them. How adorable. The pigeon was captured near a port in Mumbai with two rings tied to its legs, carrying words that looked like Chinese letters. Police suspected that it was involved in espionage and took it in. This pigeon turned out to be as big a Chinese spy as the 2023 spy balloon. I think we all remember how big of a spy fiasco that was. A lot of good documents were leaked that day. After 8 months in detention, it was released into the wild. Yeah, it turns out the pigeon was an open water racing bird from Taiwan that had escaped and made its way to India. And the letters on the rings simply said, made in China. Though the bird getting lost and not returning home is a big red flag for its capacity to be an efficient spy, eh? Although, it is interesting to see India, a long-term enemy of China, failing to take this opportunity to get one over on its rival, China, by using the opportunity to recognize the independence of this Taiwanese pigeon. It's not Chinese at all, is it? It's Taiwanese. Really rub it into the CCP's face, give this Taiwanese pigeon a medal from the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi himself for services rendered to the good and independent country of Taiwan. Now, I'm not looking to start a nuclear war between the temperamental terrains. I just see an opportunity for an advancement for the independence of Taiwan, and we need to take these opportunities as they present themselves. This is not even the first time that this has happened. In 2010, a pigeon was taken into custody due to concerns over espionage. In 2015, Indian authorities apprehended another pigeon under suspicion that it was employed by Pakistan for espionage purposes, going so far as to X-ray the bird in search of a spy camera, transmitter, or some sort of concealed chip. In 2016, another pigeon was taken into custody after it was found with a note written in Urdu that threatened Narendra Modi. Apparently that last one was looking to incite a coup. There is a leaked footage of Modi giving instructions to his border security every time a pigeon enters the country. India is clearly mistaken about all this. China isn't wasting its time on pigeons, it has better animals that it could work with. As two monkeys have been cloned using the technique that was used to produce Dolly the sheep, as China has changed the law to allow scientists to have more than one scientific guinea pig. Now it's open season. Zhong Zhong and Hua Hua are two rhesus monkeys, which means that they're the kind that are filled with peanut butter. And the clones were made using rhesus pieces. Sorry, pieces of rhesus. Yeah, I made a mistake. My bad. Being the first ever primate clones, they are a major step forward in mammalian replication. But more specifically, this is important for Chinese families who, for many years under China's one-child policy, desperately tried to ensure they got the best child that they could. Unlike here in the West, where we really did more of a crapshoot. If we have a bunch of children, surely one of them will work out. Let's just do it. Just knock out a bunch of them. But the removal of the one-child policy hasn't balanced out years of trying to have a boy, and only a boy. But this might be the solution. China's new and improved two-child policy will not only allow parents to have a girl and not freak out, but as we have arrived on the cusp of cloning your daughter will not violate the two-child restriction, as they will be a replicant of the child that you already have, and thus, the same child. One can go to be a doctor, and the other can pursue a career as an engineer, and the third clone with the unstable DNA will just go into the arts or something like that. And finally, we're talking about sports news, guys. Sports is back, baby! And it's bigger and more drugged up than ever. Long-term listeners might remember the Enhanced Games, a pie-in-the-sky pitch that athletes should be allowed to pump themselves full of drugs to break every sports record ever achieved by a human, including our biggest bulge that might be a tumour, celebrating all-round girth of a human, angriest road rage, and the Lance Armstrong Memorial Award for simply being ahead of his time. But the Enhanced Games might just become a reality this year after billionaire Peter Thiel is backing the Enhanced Games. Because despite all of their money, they still have a gaping black hole in the center of their mind where their anterior insular cortex should be, and the science isn't good enough to fix that problem, so they need to fill that gap in any way possible. And so this latest attempt will be paying athletes to destroy their body for your entertainment. Surely that will fill the hole caused by your mother not hugging you. I guess we'll find out. Should athletes put their body on the line for your entertainment is the ultimate question. It's what they, I mean, let's be honest, it's what they're doing anyway by pushing the limits of human endurance. And our old mate Peter Thiel would argue, yes, that is absolutely what they should be doing. He says this is part of a movement embracing ways science and technology can enhance human performance. A tale as old as Rome, as gladiators, circa 100 AD, supplemented their diets by using stimulants such as strychnine, you know, the active ingredient in rat poison, to deal with the traumas of the arena, to improve their intensity of their fighting, and to conceal their pain, and occasionally to ensure that they were the number one gladiator so that they could raise money for charity by selling some blood red bracelets that actually said 51-5-E strong, some sort of secret code, the meaning of which has been lost to time, unfortunately. I guess we know how often Peter Thiel thinks about the Roman Empire. Thiel is joined by the likes of Balaji Srinivasan, a cryptocurrency investor and former CTO of Coinbase, who lost $1 million bet that the US would go into a hyperinflation and a single Bitcoin would be worth $1 million within 90 days of making that very bet. So very reasonable behavior right there. And then there's Christian Angermeyer, a biotech investor, and basically a guy who just really needs drugs to make money, as he is invested in all the ones that he can legally be invested in, including mushrooms, weed, and COVID. He says that the games will undoubtedly inspire the public's imagination. They have to phrase it like this, otherwise the horrible truth will be on the surface and we can't have that. That's why they had to call it the Enhanced Games and not the, well, let's see what happens games. See, the Enhanced Games said that it will not test athletes for drugs or other performance enhancers at its events, while simultaneously claiming it is aiming to be the safest international sporting event in history and will require full medical screens on athletes competing to monitor any risks. Well, surely the full medical screenings will show which drugs that they have been taking. My understanding of these things, based on certain workplaces that I've been at, is that these things will show up in a medical screening. Or were all of those jobs just lying to me about that as well? You mean that I could have been like juicing before I showed up to the childcare centre, and I could have used the extra strength when the children turned into gremlins. Damn, what a waste. Besides, you're missing the important thing. We aren't showing up to watch drugged up athletes destroy themselves as well as sporting records. We want to know how they are doing it. Sports people love stats. Come on, guys, it's a fundamental. That's why we have fantasy football and fantasy leagues. We fucking love stats. We need stats on all of these athletes. How can we make a proper bet if we don't know what they've been taking? I'll adjust the odds. Sure, Lance is a strong rider. He's been taking these steroids for years, but Ross over here is sporting a cocktail of morphine and HGH, and he is here to win. And he cannot feel his body. He hasn't felt it for days. See, it makes a difference to my betting. Creators of the game say it is going to be the most inclusive sports league in history, and that's really gonna piss some people off. I think it's an interesting choice. It'd be a bunch of people being like, did we come here to watch people's bodies explode like a NASCAR taking a corner badly? Sure, but those bodies need to fall within strict gender binary. They say all adults will be welcome to apply to compete at the games regardless of whether they're natural, adaptive, or enhanced, an amateur or a former Olympian. And honestly, I didn't think I'd be here advocating for the banning of certain athletes. But we are only here for one thing, guys. The drugs, baby, the drugs. It's all about the drugs. We need to know exactly what drugs they are taking. If anything, they should be banned for not taking the drugs. Don't waste our time. This is the Enhanced Games. It's the entire fucking brand. You can be an amateur or a former Olympian, no problem. You can be of any gender that you want, but you better be more juiced than a grove of oranges. And it's all good and well that an idiot billionaire and his friends are willing to put the money up to make these games happen, but is anybody even interested in competing? That kind of feels like the most important thing. Well, enter retired Olympic Australian swimmer, James Magnussen. Magnussen is the first athlete in the world to publicly flag interest in competing at the Enhanced Games, which is convenient as he does compete in one of the few sports that the Games will present, those being track and field, swimming, weightlifting, gymnastics, combat sports, piano throwing, hot dog eating, doubles suggesting band names and businesses that we should totally start, man. The 1000 meter calling the people a dog cunt. And in place of boxing, they'll actually have the first ever, you wanna start something? You wanna start something? Well, fucking let's take it outside, asshole. You wanna start something? Just circling each other over and over until one of them collapses. But why would any athlete put their body through this? See, turns out the games are being organized by Melbourne-born, London-based businessman and friend of Peter, Young Blood Will Stop Me From Dying Teal, Aaron D'Souza, who has made some pretty big promises to the athletes, saying that we will write James Magnussen a US $1 million check for breaking the 50 meter freestyle world record at the Enhanced Games. Continuing, there will be multiple $1 million prizes at the first Enhanced Games. The first Enhanced athlete to publicly break Usain Bolt's 100 meter world record will also get at least $1 million. $1 million, I mean, I put my body on the line for less. I even broke my body and I still didn't make $1 million. I worked on Magnussen, who said, if they put up $1 million for the 50 meter freestyle world record, I will come on board as their first athlete. I'll juice to the gills and I'll break it in 6 months. What else do you have to say, Magnussen?
We've gone from Test cricket to T20. We've gone from PGA to LIV Golf. We've got Ronaldo playing in the Saudi League in soccer. Who says this can't be the next LIV Golf?
Oh, that's very interesting. This could be the next LIV Golf. Perfect. Well, this is exactly what we need and exactly what we have. Think of it. So this has become a bastardized version of a popular sporting event corrupted by billionaires to push the twisted agenda of those who don't care about the health and well-being of those who make the game possible, but boy, are they offering up a whole lot of blood money. It's the blood money games! Oh, that's what we should be calling it, the blood money games! And if the blood is young enough, maybe Peter Thiel can use it to keep himself young! And that's the end of the episode, guys. Thank you so much for coming out. Thanks for hanging around. I really appreciate you being here and coming through all the way to the end. So remember, if you want to support us here at the podcast, feel free to join the Patreon at patreon.com/Matt Harvey Stuff. Join up to one of our tiers and you can get yourself a bonus story. Today's bonus story is a bit of a fun one, so you want to check that out. And we've got as always, my upcoming live shows, which I do think are the best way to support the podcast. So I've got Melbourne International Comedy Festival and the Sydney Comedy Festival, both doing my show, Wage Against the Machine. Plus, I'm helping produce The Platypus with Francis Greenslade from Mad as Hell. It's going to be a fun time. These are some really good shows, and I'm very excited to get them all out for you to see. But thanks so much for hanging around, and I'll see you next time. Bye!